Measles have reached the highest numbers in 25 years, with almost 900 cases reported to the CDC so far. The Mountain West is especially vulnerable. Too few kindergartners in our region are fully vaccinated. One Colorado family took that to heart, and then things got personal. Ray Ellen Bichelle reports.
Kyle and Julie Mullica knew that 2019 would be nuts, starting with this fact. Their third child was due to enter the world the same week that Kyle would be sworn in as a Colorado state representative.
Two days before I got sworn in.
Just in time for everyone to attend the swearing-in ceremony. Kyle, Julie, their 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and 2-day-old.
It was just such of a big moment, like a big climax to so much hard work.
The trouble started around that same time, when Kyle attended a presentation for incoming lawmakers. He learned that Colorado is last in the nation for kindergarten vaccination against measles, mumps, and rubella. That's a big deal, because if vaccination rates fall below about 95%, it means a case of the measles has a much better chance of spreading and causing an outbreak. He came home and told Julie.
I was shocked. He was shocked. I don't think anyone knew that we were that bad.
Kyle is an emergency room nurse, and Julie is working on a doctorate in public health. So they knew what a big deal this was.
I mean, no one likes to be last in anything.
Especially, she says, when kids' lives are at risk. So Kyle started drafting a bill. Colorado is one of the easiest states in the country for parents to opt out of vaccinating their kids. His idea was to follow some other states and get rid of exemptions for personal or religious reasons. Basically, any reason that wasn't medical. That's when the weird anonymous messages started.
Talk about karma, you know, hoping that your kids don't die, you know, but karma has its way.
And there was a lot of not anonymous pushback, too. Even Colorado's Democratic governor didn't like the draft bill. So Kyle went back to the drawing board.
I went back and I talked to the experts and looked at what are some other solutions that we could do.
Eventually, the bill got watered down a lot. Religious and personal exemptions would remain, but parents would have to go to a local health office to turn in a form in order to get those exemptions. It wasn't the sweeping public health move that Mullica had hoped for, but he thought it was a step in the right direction. In order to become a law, though, the bill would have to go through a lot of steps. First, 2 votes in the House, then 2 votes in the Senate.
Welcome, everyone.
Fiery hearings like this one for the House committee vote lasted hours, 14 hours.
Having to get an agent to sign off on my decision to protect my family is offensive.
This bill would curtail your freedom to make those choices.
How many hospital beds are we going to need if an outbreak happens?
Kyle was at the Capitol morning, noon, and night. Julie says the family went into what they call survival mode. Finally, on a Saturday afternoon, the bill went to the House for a full vote. And it passed.
I was actually listening the whole that Saturday, and I was just so excited for him.
But someone somewhere was not excited. On the same day the bill passed the House, someone somewhere, who at this point remains unidentified, was drafting an email to Kyle. It would sit in his inbox for 2 days before he'd see it.
Calling me a Nazi, and then I think we hope your house burns down with your family inside of it or something like that. Or we're going to burn your house down with your family inside of it. Something along those lines.
That hit the family hard. Law enforcement started guarding the Mullica home, and the kids started calling them the flashy lights guys.
My number one job in this world is being a dad. I'm down there for them. I'm down there to make their life better. And then to think what I'm doing puts them in jeopardy terrified me.
The bill, meanwhile, was still doing well. It made it through one part of the Senate, but that forward momentum didn't last. On the second to last day of the session, the bill got delayed, clogged in the legislative calendar. It never made it to a final vote.
For me, it was devastating.
And while the bill might be dead, the anonymous anger that it spawned is still a part of their lives. Kyle says hearing a knock on the door makes them jump.
I was trying to be proactive. I don't want to see a kid get hurt. I don't want to see having an outbreak and costing the state millions of dollars to deal with. And God forbid, I don't want to see a child die.
Analysis by the Mountain West News Bureau shows that Colorado has more than 1,100 schools and kindergartens with less than 95% of their students fully vaccinated against the measles.
As we sit right now, we're still at risk for an outbreak.
The next legislative session doesn't start until January 2020. In the meantime, there's an emergency room full of people to treat, a trampoline to build in the backyard, and fingers crossed, no measles outbreaks. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Ray Ellen Bichelle.